Just shy of a year into the pandemic, an untold number of businesses have had to close their doors. Last year, Joe Squared in Baltimore was among them. Employees cleaned out the restaurant's fridge and closed up shop, thinking there was no way they could survive. But now, the beloved pizzeria has reopened as a worker-owned cooperative. And as WYPR's Emily Sullivan reports, the worker owners say their model is a sustainable option for struggling restaurants.
When coronavirus restrictions in Baltimore fluctuate with the latest COVID-19 rates, no single person at Joe Square decides how the pizzeria will respond. Instead, 13 worker owners put their heads together and vote on things like whether they should allow in-person dining.
We're gonna do it. I think most of us are kind of on the mindset of not until we feel safe, you know, and we can feel like we're going to make sure everybody else is safe.
And like, just because you can doesn't mean you should, you know? It's like,
that's Adam Smith and M. Morrell, two of the pizzeria's worker owners. Joe Edwardson used to run the place. It was his decision to close Joe Squared in the spring of last year.
I was pretty certain the place was dead.
But then he got a Facebook invitation to a seminar about co-ops by the Baltimore Roundtable for Economic Democracy, or BRED, a local nonprofit lender of worker cooperatives.
I didn't know anything about co-ops going into this.
Willing to try anything that could resurrect the restaurant, Edwardson attended the seminar and sent a group text to his former employees to gauge interest. Ultimately, about half of his former 30 employees returned as co-owners. They spent the summer applying for co-op grants from the city, which allowed them to settle outstanding bills and debts that stood in the way of reopening. They also wrote bylaws to determine the structure and governance of the new iteration of Joe Squared, with assistance from BRED and Baltimore's robust co-op scene. Kate Khatib is BRED's executive director and co-founder of one of Baltimore's most prominent co-ops, Red Emma's Bookstore Coffee House. She helped Edwardson and other co-owners untangle the process of converting the business.
There's a whole bunch of things that you kind of have to figure out as you're building the structure. So we took that as an opportunity to start training them in how to make decisions together.
Like having a conversation about setting the price of drinks.
Can we just do both White Claw and the Rosé for just 10 and just call it that to make it simple?
I think if you're going to do 11 or 12 for the White Claw, the margin is tight.
Yeah. For a six-pack?
Yeah.
Are they tall boys or are they just
regular boys?
Regular boys.
Yeah. How much is it at the store? I've never bought the White Claw, so I don't know.
I think like a 12-pack is like almost $20 maybe?
Yeah, so all right. So competitive pricing though.
That's fine, yeah. Whatever.
All right, cool.
They also voted to operate as takeout only in order to limit contact with others and potential spread of the virus. They established a $3 service fee on each takeout order to boost the pay for front-of-the-house employees, that is, those who come in contact with customers and rely on tips. They went from making $3.63 an hour to $12. They split annual profits and voted to invest one-third of those earnings back into the restaurant for things like renovations and equipment. The process has been empowering, says Morrell, a worker owner who does serving and bartending work.
It's been really cool. It's definitely super empowering. It gives you like more pride in where you work because it's like it's my responsibility to make this space like comfortable and accessible and safe, especially now with COVID.
Another benefit, she says, is the ability to see her ideas come to fruition, as opposed to staying wishful thinking, like introducing a new cocktail. Meanwhile, worker owners who were formerly partners in the restaurant, like Edwardson and longtime manager Okan Arabajulu, say the co-op model has allowed them to offload some of the burdens.
However, the decision-making progress is a little bit easier now.
Arabajulu retained his title and salaried pay, but is teaching administrative duties to some worker owners. He says collapsing the wall that usually separates restaurant workers at the front and back of the house has allowed the business to become more nimble.
Having people be in that process, everybody understanding the process, understanding the prices, streamlining of menu has been invaluable.
Especially in an industry known for being exploitative. Again, here's Khatib of the Baltimore Roundtable for Economic Democracy.
It's often the case that restaurants are built around a deeply hierarchical structure that excludes the participation and decision-making from the workers that are deemed less valuable.
The resurrection of Joe Squared may be a model for other restaurants hoping to financially survive the pandemic, says Mo Mankling, the policy director at the Federation of Worker Cooperatives.
Everybody's right now scrambling for like, what's the best way to support frontline workers? And I think it's, hey, why don't we give those workers a voice and a share in the value that they're creating.
Minkling says that outreach to the Federation of Worker Cooperatives has shot upwards since the pandemic hit, as well as participation in seminars designed to teach workers the basics of converting. They say that makes sense, given the stark financial impact the pandemic has had on many frontline workers.
A huge portion of the worker co-op movement in the U.S. is really made up of cafes, restaurants, home care workers, child care workers, all of these industries where people are the most frontline. They have the least security in their jobs, and they're typically the most unfairly paid.
Khatib of the Baltimore Roundtable for Economic Democracy says that in a city like Baltimore, where anchor institutions can define entire neighborhoods, co-ops can have a tremendous impact on communities because of the boosted economic stake that multiple owners implies.
And you take that same business and you say, instead of being owned by one person, this business is now owned by 15 people. You have 15 people who have that same degree of care, of interest, of desire to see the neighborhood and the neighborhood's residents survive and thrive.
Edwardson, the original founder of Joe Squared, has no qualms about his decision to transition into the co-op model. And he hopes the restaurant's experience with bread and grants solely for co-ops can serve as an example of what's possible for other struggling restaurants in Baltimore during the pandemic.
It could have been an unnecessary casualty of all that, you know, and the co-op saved it. Wait, there's a lot of restaurants that are going to have trouble going forward, you know, are definitely having trouble now. And I mean, it's definitely a model that could work.
I'm Emily Sullivan, reporting for 88.1 WYPR.